is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Hello everyone and welcome back to the Generic Live Show. Oh my god, it has been so long. Thank you everyone for sticking by the Generic Live Show. We're here on a Tuesday. It is Tuesday the 7th of June 2016. So glad you could be with us. Whether you're listening to us live on Google Plus, YouTube, Facebook, so glad you could be with us. Wherever you're listening to us, we have some big Generic Live Show news. Don't worry, this is not going to be our regular viewing. This is not going to be our regular appointment listening time slot. We got a new time slot, and we're going to announce that right now. We need some fanfare for the... My phone's going off. Why is my phone going off? Turn my phone on mute. Okay. We need some fanfare for this. What's going to be our fanfare? Yeah, we're closing the door. We're back, by the way. We've got a lot of stuff to cover in the next couple of hours with you. But where our time slot is going to be changing from this Sunday, the 12th of June, we're going to be every single Sunday around the globe. What? That's right. From 9 to 11 every Sunday night here Australian Eastern Standard Time, and 7 to, that would be 7 to 9 Sunday morning East Coast Time in the US. We're going to be broadcasting around the globe on a Sunday. That again is Sundays, starting this Sunday, the 12th of June. GLS will be returning weekly from 9 to 11 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time Zone, or 7 to 9 American Eastern Time. Get ready to for a Generic Live Show where I think it's going to be a good time. So I hope you could be with us here every Sunday as we broadcast the show. So we're going to be reminding you of that as we get into it here on a Sunday. Tuesday, but the regular show is Sunday, 9 till 11 Australian Eastern Standard Time, or 7 till 9 American Daylight Time on a Sunday. Sunday around the globe on GLS. That's the brand new announcement for us. Yes, get into politics now, and it is heated up. The race is on. There is 4 weeks left before the Australians go to the polls to vote for their next Prime Minister. The leaders have had two debates, and there's a third one on the way. Ugh. I'm going to say this, though. I'm going to get something off my chest. Why? The first debate was on Sky News. It's not available anywhere except for Sky News live broadcast once. Nothing, no clips came from that debate. We do have clips to play from the second debate, which was way more spicier, I must say. Oh, yes. Way more spicier in the second debate from Malcolm Turnbull and Bill Shorten, the two, front runners, but the two people who are really in contention for this, for the race, for the Prime Ministership here in Australia. We have a collage of clips, but we want to play, first and foremost, their opening statements for the debate in full here. Here is the Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, who, by the way, opposition leader Bill Shorten, they do something weird. They have a coin toss. They toss a coin, and whether it lands heads or tails, the Prime Minister will win that. Prime Minister will call that toss, and whoever wins, is the winner of that coin toss, will elect who gives their opening statement first. Opposition leader Bill Shorten won that coin toss and voted that Mr. Turnbull, the incumbent Prime Minister, speak first. And this is from the second debate that was on the National Press Club a week or two ago here. So it's not too old of news. Want to get these clips on the archive because they're really important to talk about. So here is Malcolm Turnbull in his opening statement for the second debate. Opening statement for the National Press Club, second debate, Malcolm Turnbull.
Thank you. We live in remarkable times, an era unprecedented in human history where the pace and scale of economic change is preeminent and unprecedented. China, 40 years ago, barely part of the global economy. Now the world's largest single economy and our largest trading partner. Within a few years, half of the world's middle class will be living to our north in East Asia. We have seen the pace of change in technology as great businesses and great industries are overtaken by newcomers. These are times of enormous opportunity and uncertainty. These are times of great challenge. These are times when we need a clear economic plan to secure our future, to ensure that Australians remain a high-wage, generous social welfare net, first-world economy. And I have that plan. My government has set out a national economic plan, every single element of which will create stronger economic growth and more and better jobs for Australians in the future. And that is not just a list of statistics. We measure the economy in numbers and percentages and growth figures. But where it counts is with every single Australian's life and their opportunities. The young person leaving school who wants to get a job. A strong economy means there'll be more opportunities. When he or she is a little older, wanting to start their own business, they will be better able to do that. If there is a stronger economy, greater confidence, the ability to invest, the ability to borrow and grow that business. And then larger businesses, where will they invest their money? Where will they decide to build up their operations? They'll do it in an economy that is strong. And that is what we are creating with our national economic plan, based on innovation. We know that if we are to be competitive in the years to come, we must be more innovative. We must be at the cutting edge of technology. So every element of our plan points to that. Supporting start-up businesses, ensuring that our defence spending is spent in Australia on advanced manufacturing, on technology, ensuring that we give small and medium businesses a tax cut so that they have more to invest in their business. 5 million Australians work for businesses that generate $10 million a year or less in revenue. They will get a tax cut on the 1st of July if we are elected. Right across the board, every element points to more growth and more jobs. And here in Reconciliation Week, on the land of the Ngunnawal people, which we acknowledge here in Canberra, we note that our policies supporting Indigenous entrepreneurship have had the result of creating 39,000 more jobs among Indigenous Australians, and increasing by tenfold the amount of government contracts going to Indigenous businesses. Right across the board, our future is underpinned by an economic plan for growth and jobs.
That was Mr. Turnbull there with his opening statement to the National Press Club. His opening statement at the debate last week. I reckon it was about... was it last week? Not this Sunday just gone, but the Sunday before that. So Sunday week ago. His opening statement to that. We'll get to the other side here where Mr. Shorten gives his opening speech. We'll play them back to back here. Mr. Shorten and his opening speech to the National Press Club at the debate.
Tonight I would like to talk directly to the Australian people. And I thank you for taking the time to listen. This election is not just about the next 3 years. It's about the next 10 and 15 and 20 years. It is about your future. Your future for your children and your grandchildren. This election is about a strong economy and a fair society. It is about Labor's positive plans for a strong economy and a fair society. Labor's plans, which will, one, ensure we have rigid budget measures. Two, that we make sure that we have nation-building infrastructure, Aussie jobs, Aussie apprentices, local content. And three, education, from childcare right through to schools, to TAFE and to universities, ensuring that Australians are equipped to compete for the jobs of the future in our region. Labor has positive plans. Labor will ensure that we make sure that Australians get high-quality education. We will make sure that Australian children get the best quality schools. We will do this by making sure that we have well-funded, positive plans. The real challenge for Australia, of course, is to ensure that we have fairness in our society. The only way we can have a strong and sustainable economy, maintain a decent standard of living, make sure that there is equality for all Australians, is to ensure that we have fairness. You can trust Labor to protect Medicare. Trust Labor to stand up for education and training. Trust Labor to ensure fair taxation and housing affordability. Trust Labor to take action on renewable energy and climate change. Trust Labor to ensure the equal treatment of women in our society. This is Labor's plans. They are plans which will ensure jobs, education and Medicare. By contrast, our opponents have got a plan which puts big business at the centre of their economic strategy. Our opponents have had three economic plans in the last 3 months. First of all, it was a 15% GST. Then it was to propose that state governments be allowed to levy additional income taxes. And now it's a $50 billion tax giveaway for large businesses in Australia. This is a very expensive risk. $50 billion for large companies. $7 billion of that will go to large Australian banks, NAB, Westpac, Commonwealth Bank and ANZ. These are matters which are a very expensive gamble. Much of this money will go to overseas shareholders. It'll derive little economic benefit. Now, of course, these economic theories have been tested before by Thatcher and by Reagan, but it's a very risky, expensive gamble to take with Australian taxpayer money for little economic benefit. Labor has the best plans to ensure real jobs, genuine growth and fairness in our society, and I would ask you to vote Labor at the next...
That is Mr. Shorten there, opposition leader. Now, interesting kind of perspective there from both opening statements at the last prime ministerial debate. Now, I would say this. Now, I haven't had to participate in a political debate myself. Wouldn't you? And it's an election cycle. And I understand that essentially we'd be voting in a party. Now I want to make a kind of non-political kind of point. And I want to say this. And it's being broadcast across a nation. Wouldn't you want to sell yourself? This is the first kind of the debate that is being broadcast on free to air television. Wouldn't you want to sell it, at least not even if you're not selling yourself? Wouldn't you want to inform people of who you are at least? Now, and I understand that the campaign had been going on for quite some time, even before the election date had been announced. But you've got to think, this is the first contact that you're having with the mass media at large. And I don't know, it's weird to hear both sides of the coin, and they're both guilty of it in those clips. And we'll get to more clips as we continue here. But I think there's nothing personal. There's no introduction to the people themselves. And I know, again, we're electing a party to lead the nation, but you are the head of those parties. Just an interesting point as I was rewatching the debate yesterday. And I don't know, it's just weird to me. Now, there was a fiery conversation between the two leaders in terms of trust. Now, there's a difference between avoiding a question and just ignoring it. And want to play the trust question. The trust question was, and considering that we've had more than, you know, our fair share, we've had five leaders in the last 5 or 6 years here in Australia, someone basically laid it out and asked the leaders, will you be, will you serve a term? Here is opposition leader Bill Shorten and his response to that question.
Well, Labor's learned its lesson about that difficult period, and I'm fortunate to lead a very united team. But we do talk about trust tonight and in this election. And Labor can be trusted on Medicare. We will make sure that bulk billing is preserved. We will make sure that GPs get regular modest increases in payments from Medicare so they don't have to introduce upfront fees for patients. Labor can be trusted on education. We want to make sure that every child in every school gets every opportunity because we would properly fund schools, government schools and non-government schools, according to the needs. Labor can be trusted on climate change. I never thought when Malcolm Turnbull became Prime Minister that I'd be debating Tony Abbott-Lite on climate change. And all of the climate change policies of the government are essentially Mr. Abbott's policies. You can trust Labor on fair taxation and to provide more action on home affordability. And you can certainly trust Labor to ensure that women in our society get an equal go.
And Mr. Shorten continues here.
Labor can trust me to be consistent about a range of issues, taking real action on climate change. Australians can trust Labor not to support, under any circumstances, a 15% GST. Australians can trust Labor to always defend Medicare, especially against privatising any of the parts of Medicare. Australia can always trust Labor to make sure that working class and middle class families get a fair go from the workplaces to the schools, to making sure their kids get a fair crack at getting to university, not based upon their parents'
wealth. And trust that you'll
still
be there at the end of a term if things get hard?
Well, earlier on I did specifically answer Ellen's question. I said that the Labor Party had learnt from that difficult period and we've demonstrated more unity of purpose than we have in a very long time. We've learnt our lesson.
Our opposition leader, Bill Shorten, there answering the question. Here, before we take our break, we're going to want to play the Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull's response to the question as well.
Well, I thank Bill for the name calling, but let me deal with the big issue that you've raised. We know that our future depends on strong economic leadership. I'm as committed to every Australian having a good education, having the chance of a good education, as everyone else here, including Bill. I had a great education. I was brought up by a single dad who didn't have much money. And he struggled to send me to school. And I had some really charismatic teachers that transformed my life. I would not be where I am today without them. I understand, as does Lucy, the transformative nature of good.
And by the way, sorry to interrupt the clue. Lucy, that is Malcolm Turnbull's wife, by the way. I just want to put that in here.
Education. And of course we agree that government money should be allocated on the basis of needs. The difference between what we will spend, federal money, over the next 4 years, and what Labor is proposing is the difference between $74 and $78 billion. It is $4 billion is a lot of money. But we are spending more than ever before. Our government is, my government is. And what we are seeking is great outcomes. So we are going to ensure that every child at the age of five when they go to school is assessed so that we find out which kid is doing well, which one is behind, so that action can be taken immediately. We want to make sure that this growing gap between the best performing and the worst performing kids stops growing and contracts. You see, we have been spending more and more on schools, and yet the outcome has been getting worse. Now, that's money is important, but we have to make sure we get the right results, the right outcomes for our children, because they are our future.
That is Mr. Malcolm Turnbull there. As we continue, we will continue this coverage. It feels great to be back in this seat. Also, thank you. Thank you to Mr. CJ Boat. I know you're watching. Hello. He says, ouch, shots fired at UK and America. Thank you. You are welcome. That's why you keep me around. I gotta you know, I fire everyone up. And by the way, if you are watching live, you can go to the Google Plus event page and you can submit a question there. You are more than welcome to and have input on the elections going on around the world as we continue more coverage of the Australian election, and we will give you an update on what is happening in America. What is indeed happening in America? No one actually knows, but I'll try and answer that as we continue. It's 8:22. Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thank you all for being with me. I gotta tell you, according to the news, we are on the brink of a historic, unprecedented moment.
Thanks for joining us here on a Tuesday. With Dale Campbell, thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. It feels so good to be back. Yes! Oh, yes. But this isn't our permanent home, our new home, if you listen to the first segment of the show. It's going to be Sundays, 9 to 11 Australian Eastern Standard Time, PM. That would be 7 to 9 AM Eastern Time in the US on Sundays. That right there. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. If you're waking up in the US, by the way, here on a Tuesday, those were the fine words of Hillary Clinton, who, that's right, overnight became the presumptive Democratic nominee. That's right, you heard it here first, or second, or third. But yeah, news out, Hillary Clinton clinches on a technical level, assuming she doesn't lose any superdelegates between now and the California primary also today, she is the presumptive Democratic nominee. Also, news that we didn't cover on this show, and you probably all knew by now, that Donald Trump is the presumptive Republican nominee. Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, 2016, dear Lord, oh God, no. Oh God, no. That's right. I shouldn't tease that much. But, you know, what has the world come to? You know, we watch TV, we watch the world, and, you know, I don't know what to say here. Really, I don't know. I don't have a problem with Miss Clinton. I really don't, per se. But, you know, you really, really couldn't. You couldn't just know. But anyway. And the Sanders campaign has also come out at the news, that the Sanders campaign has criticized the media's rushed to the judgment. Quote, it is unfortunate that the media is in rush judgment I are ignoring the Democratic National Committee's clear statement that it is wrong to count the votes of superdelegates before they actually vote at the convention this summer. The Sanders campaign quickly points out, and that's a fair call. You know, you can't count votes that, you know, haven't, you know, been cast yet. But, you know, it is what it is. But there you go. Clinton had 2,383 delegates. Becomes the presumptive Democratic nominee. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, we'll continue our coverage of the Australian Leaders Debate at the National Press Club over a week ago. Yeah, it's been a while since we've done the show, and we got a lot to cover. Rapid weather has been rocking the south of the country. We'll get into that in the insurance bill. The insurance bill that will cost Australian families here. What is the cost? It's in the millions, but the amount, it's shocking to you and me. It's 8:30. Whatever the time of day, whatever the time of the night, we're here to serve you a big dose of genericness with your host, Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on a Tuesday with Dale Campbell. You know, is it? Too early in the morning for club music. I shouldn't do that to US listeners, you know. You know, what's not to love about the doof doof music? Personally, won't listen to that. Yeah. Oh yeah. Should give a shout out, by the way, to where I get all of this royalty-free music from. Get it from a channel on YouTube. It's completely copyright-free. It's audio library, no copyright music, and it is royalty free. It is fantastic music. It's great, and you should check it out. What am I, Donald Trump? All of that? It's great. It's magnificent. It's huge. I can't do the accent, you know. It is what it is. Thanks for joining us. And by the way, I want to give a little bit of a shout out. And I keep getting, and I don't know why. And CJ reminded me of this, of the tropical storm that is currently happening in the US. I keep getting reminders, and I forgot to bring it up at the top of the show. And it's causing localized flooding. It's that's what I'm understanding anyway. I can't pull up the storm details, but I'm getting a lot of the flood watches and that sort of thing. Do not ask me why I still have warnings for that area on, but yeah I do, and it's weird. It wakes me up at like 1 o'clock in the morning. Storm watch. But we're no stranger to storms here lately. Not here locally. Here locally, it's been great. It's been, you know, about 17 degrees Celsius, with about 60 Fahrenheit. It's great. I'm wearing flannel, actually, this evening, which doesn't really... I don't normally wear flannel and record at the same time, so it's a bit of a new experience for me. Did I just slip into my gay voice just then? Please tell me I didn't. But there you have that. And unfortunately, not everyone in Australia is that lucky as well. The insurer's bill will hit up to and over 56 million over the last weekend, a tropical storm that has ravaged parts of the East Coast from about Sydney south. Massive storms. They've actually had a tropical storm warning for the whole coast that encompassed New South Wales, I'm led to believe. They also had that. The Insurance Council of Australia said by 9 a.m. this morning, its members had received 14,500 insurance claims across Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, and Tasmania. But the total repair bill is set to pale alongside that of previous national disasters like Tropical Cyclone Yasi, for instance. Quote, though this is clearly a devastating event for those directly affected, the overall impact of these storms remains well below other recent events, including April's East Coast low and 2014 Brisbane hailstorm. I actually remember that hailstorm. So insurers are well resources. Acting Insurance Council of Australia Chief Executive Cal Civilian said. If you remember correctly, that hailstorm cost insurance agents $1.4 billion. That's $1 billion. Quote, this is Mr. Civilian talking again. Quote, while the storm front has moved past Queensland, New South Wales, heavy rains are still causing damage of flooding in more southern parts of Australia, especially in Tasmania. The IAG will work with insurers to repair damage in Sydney. And they're actually getting, they're using drones now instead of, you know, in natural disasters, instead of, you know, men and women in boats, shouldn't cast a blanket there, instead of people in boats going to in flood waters to look at the insurance damage, they're using drones now to particularly went to photograph the roof damage and headed back to the office where people can stay indoors throughout weather like this. I don't know about sending call me skeptical, but I don't know about sending, I mean, it's a good and a bad idea, but sending drones out in heavy storms, it just, I just don't know. Call me old-fashioned, but one person loses control of that drone, or something malfunctions with that drone, all that data is lost. And I suppose you could say that about the quote-unquote old-fashioned way as well, where a person, a man or a woman, drops a camera and, you know, all that data is lost. You could make that argument too, but it's a catch-22, I guess. But using technology is a good thing in this case as well. Changing gears completely, let's talk retail. Supermarket chain Woolworths, full disclaimer, who I work for, has a defensive move against German retail Aldi that won't work. It's time for everyone's favorite thing in the world, is where Dale argues with opinion pieces. Everyone's favorite segment is back. Woolworths' private label changes are a defensive response to the growing popularity of German discount retail Aldi, but won't have the impact that retail hoped it would have, academics claim. You know, academics, they're real bright people. But Australia's largest supermarket chain is dumping Woolworths and Select labels and replacing them with Essentials and the new brand called Woolworths. So they're basically rebranding their own brands, so to speak. The new Woolworths own brand, I'm going to say Woolworths own brand because you can't say Woolworths is Woolworths brand. It just doesn't make sense. Woolworths' own brand will cover more than 2,000 of its product range. Thanks, article. You're saying it'll cover mostly food. You're a retail chain. Of course it's going to cover most of the chain. It's going to be replacing the Select range of goods. University of Sydney's Business School Associate Professor Teresa Davis said the move is clearly in response to the growing Aldi threat. Quote, "The latest move by Woolworths is no more than a defensive strategy against Aldi," Professor Davis said. Quote, "It's reactionary and is essentially just tinkering around with its offering. I don't think it's going to make a huge difference." Well, I would argue differently. Because, and here's why, rebranding costs a lot of money, particularly when you're doing it on a large scale of things. And you've got to think, or particularly with major multinational corporations, which ditch retail out of the picture for just a second, just multinational companies in general, because you've got to think, you've got distribution networks you've got to change, aside from just the massive branding that you have to change as well. You've got, you know, new packaging costs, you've got, again, the aforementioned distribution networks, you've got marketing costs, you've got to get get this message out there that where it's no longer going to be known as home brand or select brands, it's going to be now called Woolworths and Essentials. You've got to get communications message out there, and apart from that, if it's not broken, don't fix it. I think it's less a defensive strategy against Aldi and more that Woolworths has gotten tired of the home brand and Select labels when they've seen that they have kind of petered out. They've kind of hit their max saturation and they've kind of petered to the kind of slim extinction. And you've got to hand it to Woolworths. They're trying to reinvent themselves. And you see this with the rewards card. You see this with this now Essentials and Woolworths brand. I feel like rebranding is a lot more difficult than what Woolworths would have hoped. And this is coming from a Woolworths employee, so I should be careful of what I say here, and I'm not going to disregard who they are. But I feel like it's come off as defensive in many circles. And it's just come off as desperate to me, more less defensive and more just, you know, less defensive and more less defensive and more just plain rebranding. They're going through a branding crisis, and they don't know how to fix it. So instead of coming up with something new, they're going to rebrand the stuff that they already have. I don't understand the theory behind it. I mean, I'm not really a big rebranding person myself. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That should certainly be the rule. And it's unfortunately not. You see a lot of people rebranding things that aren't broken in the first place. So there is that. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show. So we've got a bit of late breaking news here as well. Overnight, ladies and gentlemen, Hillary Rodham Clinton is the presumptive Democratic nominee as she just sneaks over the line of the amount of delegates she needs to clinch the Democratic nomination for the presidency. She made a speech. I'm going to play the speech for you now. We played it a bit earlier on. We played a clip of it earlier on. And here it is in its entirety. Hillary Clinton, the first female presumptive nominee in political history, particularly in the United States. Here is Hillary Rodham Clinton as soon as it loads. So we'll get interrupted by it. So, and here we go. After an advertisement. Fantastic. You know, doing the show on the fly doesn't help. Breaking news. Come on, folks. Don't throw your advertisements in. I need an alternative for that. Need an alternative. Here we go. Hillary Clinton.
Me. I gotta tell you, according to the news, we are on the brink of a historic, unprecedented moment. But we still have work to do, don't we? We have 6 elections tomorrow, and we're going to fight hard for every single vote, especially right here in California. So I'm asking each and every one of you, how many of you have already voted by mail?
Okay, we've got... You know, okay, hold the goddamn phone. Now, here we go. You know, when I someday, if I run for public office, okay, first of all, someone talked me off the cliff. Second of all, one thing I'm not going to do, and this is on record, so here we go, 7th of June, 2016 at 8:50 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. I am not going to get up on stage and ask a stupid question to the audience. What type of question is that? Like, what? It pisses me off. You have the world watching you. You are at a rally in right before the election, and now you're asking, who's voted by mail? Yes! Oh, yes. Now, granted, it's off the cuff. It's spontaneous. I get it. Who? You are on the world stage, and you just asked, who has voted by mail? I don't hear a mention of thanking the supporters. I don't hear a mention of thanking volunteers. We're going to take a break as we continue here on... I need a beverage. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, here on a Tuesday, but this is not our permanent home. We'll tell you more as we continue. And we have a new hipster trend set by Melbourneites. It might taste delicious too, you never know. It's 8:51.
Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on a Tuesday with Dale Campbell. We've got big news after in about 10 minutes time. We've got a huge news. We got show-changing news. We're back in... I'm back in the seat. We've had to take a bit of a hiatus, but I'm back now. We've had to take a bit of a hiatus because of scheduling issues. But we're back now, and it feels so good to be back. How does it feel so good to be back? I should be more energetic than this. How does it feel to be back? Well, I don't know. How about a bit of coffee to get me a bit excited for the show today? Well, just a quick plane trip down to Melbourne. Because, you know, Melbourne is known as the coffee capital of Australia. But it's been getting a bit weird. The city is getting very, very, very experimental when it comes to caffeine comforts. But now, you'd be glad to know, rainbow coffee has now become a thing. Last week, we saw a burping live on the air. How unprofessional. Last week, I'm seeing pop-up ads. Why? Anyway, last week we saw deconstructed coffee creep into cafes as it caused outrage among frequent sippers. Now, rainbow coffee has been confusing people who just want a traditional latte. The new drink certainly takes coffee art to another level, with red, blues, and greens swirling around the coffee mug. But it might be an acquired taste, as it's not exactly the coffee you're getting. The rainbow coffee is a healthy alternative, created by Too Many Chefs, a cafe in Brighton, in Melbourne's southeast, and the owners claim the drink gives you your vitamin C fix, fights the flu, and boosts your immune system, and acts as an inflammatory. Okay. Coffee gone mad, a coffee lover, right on Twitter. And by the way, I have to say this. Why deconstructed coffee? I don't understand. It's literally 3 cups. I'm looking at a picture now. I'm getting a picture. 3 cups that look exactly. I don't get it. It's the most laziest thing ever. Here's a cup of milk. Here's a cup of hot water. Here's an espresso shot. You know, here's a coffee bean. Have fun. But AFL players and models are getting on board with the new coffee trend. I don't understand. Why? I mean, I'm a fan of rainbow things. I am, you know. And this might come as a surprise to people. You know, here's my gay coming out in me. Rainbows, I don't know. They're weird to me. They really are. They're a weird concept. And I think it's just, I don't know. It's something about how we have to get, you know, people of the LGBT community have to get behind this rainbow thing. And I don't align myself with a bunch of colours. I mean, you know, I am a part of the LGBT community and I support LGBTQ rights, but I don't align myself with a bunch of colours. I get that we're unique enough. I don't need a rainbow to remind me that I am unique. I'm wearing flannel on the internet. I don't need to be reminded that I'm, you know, that I'm of that descent. But thank you, Rainbow Coffee. You know, I am coming up to an on-hour break, so, you know, coffee might be due because this Coca-Cola is really not doing it for me today. But, you know, it's, you know, hey, whatever floats your whatever gets your float boat rolling on a weekday. I don't know. It's just weird to me. Yeah. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, we're going to give you everything. We're going to give you a full rundown of the Australian election. We've got a latest poll here for the Australian election. We had a debate. We had a public debate. And we're going to run it down for you as we continue here on a Tuesday, not our permanent home. We'll tell you more about that as well. It's 8:59.